accession number 17681, reel 7.
Robin's reel 7.
After the interview with the Sultan and Browning, my friend, had borrowed the aeroplane, said I'm going to India for a week, I said, don't go without having that money, that million, put in your account in Switzerland. While he was away, not only the British Secret Service, but the Arabs, the clique around there, descended on me and accused us of forcing the Sultan to give us this money. And I was threatened with being imprisoned, and I was threatened with being shot. And I met my friend Browning a week later at midnight. He bounced off the plane full of the joys of spring. What's it feel like to be a rich man? I said, we're both nearly dead men. That's what it's like. I told him the story. Within a week, he was kicked out without a penny. The cabal had got the better of the situation. And in that cabal were British officers, senior ones, and British. And Browning, meanwhile, had handed to an Arab who didn't care for me much. And he said, look after Robin. Yes, certainly. We'll look after him. We'll finish his contract. Within 3 weeks, I was ordered out. And I left, owed several thousands. But that was that. I had to get out. Meanwhile, Browning took other measures, which I understand got him paid a great deal of what he was due and promised. I went off much less. 3 or 4 years later, the Sultan came to England to visit the Queen and Maggie Thatcher. I said to a great friend of mine, who was chief of staff out there at the time, very great friend, Peter Thwaites, who was very close to the Sultan, I said, look, do you know this story? Does the Sultan know what's happened? Does he know I left being owed money? I'm sure he doesn't. Tell him. I wrote a letter. This went to the Oman embassy, who stupidly gave it to the British commander-in-chief out there, one Creasy, who wrote me a very rude letter and said, how dare I ask for money? I said to him, having known him all my life, you're an idiot, I didn't send this to you. I sent this to the Sultan, it should not have landed in your hands. I said to my friend Thwaites, wrong hands. He said, I'm seeing him tomorrow, I'll get it to him. Meanwhile, the Sultan had seen Maggie, the Queen. Despite all his busy things here, the very next morning a check arrived for all I had been owed. And the man said, I didn't realize. You see, they keep the monarch out of it. So it was a fascinating 3 years, in which the best times I ever had was when I went up alone into the empty quarter of the desert, or up 10,000 feet in the Jebel, with one or two close friends walking. Those are the happiest times in the Oman. Not the money grubbing and the filth of politicians.
I don't understand. Did you say that you were second in the Ministry of Defence?
I was the Deputy Director General of the Ministry of Defence. He was the Director General.
So how did you have to deal with the Sultan's debt problems if you were in the Ministry of Defence?
We worked directly to the Sultan. I was the Sultan's National Defence Secretary. And one of the things that happened was that the cabal tried to keep us away from seeing the Sultan. One of the eminence greases was a man called Landon. who had been at Sandhurst with the Sultan, who was in the coup which got rid of his father. They had what I can only describe as an unnatural relationship. And he became very powerful. When I went there, he was a major. When I left, he was a brigadier. But he was also a multimillionaire. Those were the sort of people who we were up against. And when you say, why did you have anything to do with the Sultan and his money? Browning held the purse strings. That is why he was able to double my money without asking anybody. You see? And he had entree directly to the Sultan. And as the Ministry of Defense, at that time was the most important ministry of all because of the war, this is why this relationship was there.